This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today's guest worked with Tony Robbins for over a decade and sold more self-development products than any other human being on the planet. And I love how he describes himself. I never set out to be an expert in sales and influence, but I've always been fascinated why people do the things they do. I come from humble beginnings, to say the least. And even back then, I was deeply curious about where people end up in life and why they end up there. They say that pressure creates diamonds, but when it comes to personal transformation of the humankind, I believe it takes the perfect mix of both external pressure and internal drive. This is a guy I wanted on my show for a very long time, and we finally made it happen. His name is Eli Weil. Welcome, Eli.
Hey, thanks so much for that awesome introduction, buddy.
Yeah, that's you, man. Yeah. I'm so glad to have you here. And one thing that I want to ask you, something that I start with all my guests, and that is, who is Eli really as a person?
You know, I think, who am I? That's a great question. You know, I think we all want to have just a great life, and we've all got a different identity of what that means. For me, it's being about fully self-expressed and, you know, answering the questions at life and overcoming challenges. We all do that, but the path might look very different. And so, you know, there's that nature-nurture kind of argument, like how do we become who we become? And so it's something I talk with a lot of my clients about when we ask that question of who we are. There's who we are, and then there's who we've become. So for myself and most people I talk to or coach, people say, oh, that's just the way I am. And they say, that's not who you are, it's who you've become. And so who we become in life is often a direct reflection of the lessons we learned, ways that we are trying to seek approval, make ourselves safe, try to control a situation by being smart or making money. And so there's this aspect of me that's become a certain way through the nature around me, or through the nurturing around me of my environment, my painful experiences, my learnings, my mentors. And then there's the nature, like of just who we are authentically. And I think that you know, that inner child is somebody that's just been passionately curious, all inspired by life, excited, and wanting to authentically connect with other human beings and try to make a positive difference in the world, not to, you know, have some grandiose philosophy about I'm going to, you know, feed a billion people or travel the world. Just a kid wanting to be happy more than anything and to see other people be happy as well. I think that's the nature in me, and the nurturing has taken that learning experience of, you know, what I've been through, is taking that child and has learned a lot of ways that have been effective and also ineffective in doing that. So who I've become is a mixture of who I am and the learnings that I now get to share.
Yeah, wonderful. And when I started really with self-development was after reading The Game.
Yeah. Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Some of my good buddies. We talk. I was with him Saturday. Yeah. He's
wonderful.
So he's the nemesis in the book, Tyler Durden.
Yeah. I know.
A good buddy.
Oh, cool. And so I was good at sport, but I wasn't good at attracting the opposite sex. And
feeling, because what I think what we all strive for is being loved.
Yeah.
In some sense. And when I started reading this book, I said, okay, this might work. And you start picking up girls and it works. But then you realize I'm still empty. You're talking about the empty cup, because I don't have anything to offer yet. Yeah. And then I started developing myself. And that changed my life, you know, to really see how I am as a human being. And to do that, I had to study people that were better than me at like this self-love and human psychology. Is that something that helped you, like studying all these people? That helped you to become like more safe and secure in like your approach?
Yes. And you know, the dark side of self-development is this. It's like, you know, even the concept self-development or self-improvement, it presupposes that there's something wrong with you that needs to be improved, instead of showing up, this is like something I'm going to do because I want to and choose to. But a lot of people go to it like, there's something I have to fix. And then there's the next book and the next program and the upsell and things like that. And so it can be, you know, a bit dark in that way, that there's always, you know, and we can always get better. But some people don't do it with the need to be better. They're trying to get somewhere or be approved of in some way. And even for me, it's like I started to read all those books and sleep with a lot of women and all of that. And really, like my dad was always kind of a womanizer and all that stuff. And, you know, looking back on it, and I wanted to be able to sleep with lots of women so I could feel powerful, but also at a deep level of connection, not just with the women, but I wanted to have something to talk to my dad about. You know, it's like, and, you know,
to feel his love and approval, right?
Yeah, that sense of connection to, you know, and the kind of the buddy, you know, guy locker room talk thing that I never really was like felt included in, like in middle school, because I was a weird kid. And, you know, it was like awkward talking to girls. And there was the guys talking about sleeping with girls. I wanted to have that camaraderie, you know, and even girls go out to look pretty for men, of course, but the opinions that really sting them the most are the opinions of other women. So women, you know, want to look at it, because women are horrible to each other. Like they break them down. You know, you look, you know, those earrings are okay. You know, Susie said this, and then it just gets to the woman so much, you know, even more than the approval of men. So it's just interesting why human beings do what they do and how they end up where they end up. And then one day they kind of look back and say, how did I end up here? Because it was the external drives instead of the internal.
It's so interesting. Like when I started reading more about this, there was a forum and there was one guy who was a natural, you know, the natural womanizer, maybe like your dad. And he just wrote a post saying, guys, you have all these tools, but you're still in this fucking forum. When someone else is out there meeting their girls, you know, there's so many tools. And I think that's the same when it comes to self-development and self-help. There's so many people that just want to learn more and more instead of using it, you know.
So it is an addiction.
Yeah, we already have most of what we need inside us, right?
Yeah.
So that is so interesting to see how that affects. And also, I want your opinion on this, because then it came to a point where there was someone who said, the guy who doesn't have any girls feels the same with the guy who have too many girls. They're both empty in a way, because you're just searching for something. Did you feel that, like when you had all these women, did it felt good, or did you feel empty?
There's a component, you know, it's based on your personality.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's everybody's different, but definitely my personality type. And I've taken a lot of like personal inventory tests. There is that part of me that likes to be wild and out there, that star, like being on the stage and getting the attention and, you know, and all that, like not because I'm trying to fill myself up, but it's just fucking fun, like to engage and to have challenge and to be out there. So some components of it, I'm not gonna lie, are not empty for me. It's freaking awesome, you know. Like Owen, who, you know, is Tyler Durden from the book Real Social Networks. I think he's 38 now, and like every weekend, you know, they do like 3,000 seminars a year. He obviously doesn't train all of them, but he's got interns and this thing, and so they're teaching self development skills to men. But he's twirling the girl and hooking. I mean, it's not like empty for him. He's like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like it is, and there is a component to it that is, you know, it's, I mean, I teach some aspects of my own influential models and the drivers I call the seven F's that relate to, you know, fitness, family, friendships, finances, faith, with sense of purpose and meaning, and then fun, and also fornication. So, you know, the driver of sex, it's procreation. Like, we're all here because somebody had sex.
Yeah.
And so that reptilian part of the brain, you know, it's like, and when I am doing like a live seminar, I'll do some things like breathing exercises, core work. And most speakers, when you see them up there, they kind of stand or they nervously walk back and forth, or they got these awkward fidgety movements. They kind of plant and speak, and they got these hand movements, and it's kind of orchestrated and awkward. And so I don't plant, I prowl. And so there's an energy in me. I do some core work, some deep breathing, some primal breath. And I'm like walking around there, and people, you know, people will tune you out if they get bored of you. And they get bored of you as a communicator if they know what you're going to say, if you're safe. But even my physiology, the way that I move through a room, like that reptilian part of the brain is like, is this something I need to fight this or fuck this? You know, it's like that primal thing. And it's like, I'm walking through there and I touch people or I look somebody right in their eyes and I connect with this person and everybody there is like, what is he about to do?
Yeah.
And so there I'm like, I want to be dangerous. You know, it's like in there, not dangerous. I might, and it's also a slight bit of incongruency. Like, I'm very sweet and warm and nice. You know, and I'm there, but there's like my physiology is like, I'm, you know, when you're an athlete, like there's a movement that an athlete has, there's a certain level of confidence. It doesn't, you don't have to be 6'8" or, you know, a 7 foot tall basketball player to have that. A lot of those guys feel uncomfortable in their skin because they get so much attention and they're kind of hunched over. You can see that awkwardness. So being bigger or taller doesn't necessarily mean it. I've seen teeny guys that just have this, they're like, you know, like UFC fighters and stuff like that. There's a certain level of confidence that comes with that. But to back up a bit, something you asked me about studying all these people, did that help me? Yes and no, and the other side of self-development, kind of the dark side that I want to just touch on. I think it's very, very important to learn from many different people. But for me, I wanted to find the absolute best and go deep. And here's the way that one of my mentors explained this to me. There's a very big distinction that people need to understand, and it's the difference between studying and training. Studying means that I might read this book and this book and this book. Say I want to get healthy. I might read 100 different books on fitness and nutrition and exercise and all that. So it's 100 different points of view from people that I've studied. And so to be successful in life with communication and sales and influence over ourselves, there's a certain amount of certainty. And so our certainty, like in sales, our certainty, one of my mantras is my certainty overcomes their doubt. And so I'm so certain, a belief is a feeling of certainty. And so I believe I can help this person. I believe that I'm there for a reason, and I've conditioned it. And so because I've walked into that room, that conversation, and I've conditioned it more than them, I know. And also, if I'm speaking on stage, I'm the only one that knows what's going to be talked about. I'm the most certain person in the room. Like, I'm the only one that knows what's going to happen. Like, you're all at the effect. I'm at cause, you're at the effect. And so that level of certainty is very attractive in business and things like that, and that needs to get conditioned. But when we have conditioned that part of our mind to look at this nutrition plan and this health plan and this book, all these different points of view, our attention is fractionated and we've created an internal feeling of uncertainty. Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Maybe I'll take a little of this. Maybe I'll take a little of this. Maybe I'm trying to create my own unique thing so I can brand it and all that stuff. And it creates this feeling, all these ideas, all these points of view create an internal state of uncertainty. So studying, yes, you should do some of it. But the distinction between studying and training is profound, because training means that you do something over and over again, over and over again. Stimulus, response. And the number one skill of anybody that's successful in life and business and sport and music, anything, could be an accountant. The number one skill that's developed over time is pattern recognition. And so if you're, like, say you're a UFC fighter and you see the guy, like his hip goes this millimeter back, and you say that's because that he's about to lunge with his right. You know, when his face twitches, the poker player notices, you know, the tell. And so when we see those things, an accountant looks at the business plan and says, you know what, something's off with those numbers, or meets the person and there's incongruency in his tonality, his eye contact, his voice, these incongruencies between somebody's saying and doing and feeling and what they're responding to and what they're showing and then what's going on inside of them. And so whether it's in sales or if you're working for the CIA or if you're, you know, an athlete, these recognizing these patterns and to know that there's a pattern to it. And when somebody does this, there's a next logical step in what they're about to do. And so recognizing patterns in people. But when we start to train, you know, in communication, when we train ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, when we train, you know, as opposed to study, that level of over and over again and over and over again and getting in the reps. And then when something shows up, you know, it's like when you see boxers, they'll like go through a combination, bat, 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 you know, bat, 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 bat. And then in the ring, there's so much, you know, hormones and adrenaline, the crowd and all that stuff. You need to be able to go back into the instinct. And if you're in your head, you're dead. It needs to be, you know, stimulus response.
So right. I know as a martial artist, some of the fights, it was just over. And then what happened? I won and I blocked everything. Yeah. I kicked and I didn't even know what happened.
That's training. Yeah.
And those were the best fights because I wasn't in my head. Mm-hmm. But how do we do that though? Because we're talking here about influence. We're talking about sales. We're talking about attraction. We're talking about all these important things.
Yeah.
But how do we get out of our heads?
Some of it's just training. So it's like you have to be able to have certain exercises that you can do to push yourself physically. I mean, meditation is great. Breathing exercises, whether it's Wim Hof breathing, box breathing, things like that. And I believe that, you know, and meditation is something really powerful, but there can be walking meditation. It's things that you do to get your out of your head and into your body. Something that really, you know, worked for me a lot. I don't do it anymore, but I'm tempted to get another one, is just riding a motorcycle, like up PCH or something like that. And, you know, when you think of something like fly fishing, you know, it's rhythmic. You might have seen people do it, and there's this back and forth movement. Riding a motorcycle, not in crazy traffic, the wind's flowing over you 60, 70 miles an hour, your feet are inches away from pavement, and you're going in and out of turns, the swaying back, where it's enough for the mind to hook onto, but it's not like calculus, where you're just like, "Rrr." And so the mind's hooked onto something that's rhythmic. And so you could be swaying back and forth and your mind has got enough to latch onto, but it's not like, so your mind can't be focused on like what Susie said or Bobby said or what happened to me when I was 2, because you have to focus on this thing or you could die or you're not going to catch the fish. So you're into a rhythmic pattern that the mind can hook onto. Could be a breathing pattern that your mind is counting the breaths. So your mind has to be focused on something, and that rhythmic pattern allows you to drop into the unconscious. And that's, I'm actually, might be meeting with somebody today, a guy I'm doing a seminar with that I met, David Lyon. He's like a YouTube celebrity and mentalist hypnotist. And I contacted him, we became friends because I wanted to learn these hypnotic language patterns around sales and influence and all that. And this guy does conversational hypnosis. Like he could be talking to you and next thing you know, you don't remember your name and your feet are stuck to the floor. And I've seen him do it to people and it's very conversational. And I'm like, man, that's badass. You know, it's like that thing, but getting people into that rhythmic and the patterns and the linkages and people feel safe. And so we need to be able to do that to ourselves. To drop in. And sometimes it's as simple as breathing, you know, putting your hands somewhere like physically on your body, you know, holding your stomach, you know, just feeling connected to yourself and dropping in. And, you know, that slowing down and connecting and the rhythm and, you know, it's breathing, it's that. And that's what's really important. Another one of my good buddies, friend and mentor, Jesse Elder, I don't know if you know who he is, but he had all these martial arts schools, but he would train in fighting and stuff. And he noticed that there's all these fighters and guys like up before listening to music, jumping up and down, getting all pumped up. But the guys that were the masters were over in the corner meditating. They were still and calm and, you know, it just dropping in. And it makes you much more perceptive to what's going on.
Awareness.
Yeah, it's when you see Bruce Lee, you know, these guys, they, you know, there's that internal thing, which also comes from confidence, from certainty, from knowing there, you know, and Tony said this to me one time, and this is like, when I am preparing for something, it's like, he's messed with my nervous system so much, like it's 2 a.m. and I'm about to go to sleep and I've got something big the next day. And I just remember Tony doing some like one-on-one coaching with me, and he wanted to just anchor this in my nervous system so bad. And he talked about doing this and this and this. And he's like, how do you do that? He's like, fucking prepare. And he said it like as intense as Tony Robbins could say something, which most people have never seen. Like even when you see him on stage and thousands of people, he's intense. People are like, whoa, this guy's got energy, like one-on-one. And he's like yelling at you and stuff like that in a way to inspire you. But just like you might remember somebody yelled at you when you were 5, or, you know, this girl said something to you, or, and you still remember it. It's in your nervous system. He has a way of getting shit in your nervous system that can be very powerful for you, that jars your whole nervous system. And so when it's late night and I want to go to bed, I just think of Tony saying, fucking prepare. And he is so prepared. That's part of the reason he's so confident on stage, is nobody's more prepared than him. And so he prepares more than anybody. Like, yeah, it's insane.
The last question, Eli, that I want to ask you is something that I ask all my guests. And Eli is working on his fists.
Yeah. Closing my fists.
A lot of guys are having the thumb inside. That's going to break it.
Yeah, it breaks your thumb.
Or forward. You want to have it here. Like in karate, we punch with these two knuckles. Yeah. Good knuckles.
Boom. Yeah. Sharp. Those are sharp knuckles.
Eli is a good guy. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah.
So the last question that I want to ask you and that I ask all my guests is, we're all about sharing and this has been truly incredible, but what we really want to do is to help them to do something today, just to get a little bit closer, a dream, a goal, or a live thing that I should do. So if there's just one thing that you can tell them to do right now when they're done with this podcast, what would that be?
You know, to, without like needing to listen to it again, write down like the top two distinctions that somebody got. So get in the process of taking notes and reviewing those notes. And so it's the repetition is what leads to skill. The preparation is so not an overwhelming amount of ideas, getting together like a list of distinctions from here, having a book of distinctions. And whenever I go to a course or listen to some great information, I say I'm at a 3-day seminar, it's hard to remember everything there. So I create a list of $1 million moments, like aha moments, like boom, that would be worth $1 million to me in my lifetime, and a list of action items. So that's a process of extracting what I find most useful from information, so it's a book or this podcast. Write down what were the moments, what are the action items, what are the distinctions that are applicable that you could implement into your daily routine. Because they say it's like if you want to change something in your life, well, you need to change something you do daily. And to be able to say these two questions that I got from Tony, and this the main two questions that Tony's built everything he's gotten has been off these two questions. These two questions have created Tony's brand. Number one question is, what's useful? What can I learn from this? What can I learn from this mistake? What can I learn from this podcast? What can I learn from Tony Robbins? What can I learn from this relate? What can I learn? And so the first question is, what can I learn? You know, what can I learn from Jim Rohn or NLP? What can I learn? Meaning, what's useful? What's useful? Not just like some people read a book and their outcome in reading the book was to check the book off the list or to tell people that they read it. That's not useful. Like what is implementable to my life? And really seeing and sitting down thinking like, how do I implement this into my day? Visualizing the conversation, the way I ask this question, my tone of voice, how I walk into a room, how to see that and implement something. So the first question when you get some information is always, what's great about this? The second question is, how do I make it even better? And so the reason we're evolving so much, there's cultures like Steve Jobs, his company, he created a culture there where they didn't just say when they had the iPhone, we're the best phone company out there, we're number one. They looked at it and they said, how do we make it even better? How do we make it even better? And now he's created a culture of people that are still asking, how do we still optimize and make things better? And so when you can look at what's been taught from other teachers and make it even better, that becomes your IP, that becomes your training, and that's how you can help evolve the planet. And so I'm looking at Tony's stuff. You know, I've been to, you know, many of Tony's seminars and I still think he's the best, but you know, I got a lot of feedback. Some people didn't like his stuff or he cussed too much or whatever. And now that I'm doing my own events, I think, how could I be even better than Tony Robbins? How can I make a bigger impact on Tony Robbins? Within a, not that I'm better than Tony, but how do I affect a certain demographic of people far deeper and more powerfully than he ever could based on my specific questions and my focus in this one niche? Like, I know that I can make a deeper impact. And, you know, he charges $1 million. Some of my clients are charging $1 million now. And I, you know, I'm seeing that. And when I first saw that, I there's a guy, I went to his event. Even this guy, this 28-year-old guy, he charged $120 a year for his coaching. One of his mentors that I met, Ted, charges $300,000 a year for coaching. I met this 27-year-old girl recently. She charges $300,000 a year for her coaching. You know, and so it's crazy. So they've taken certain components. A lot of it's like basic NLP stuff that they're teaching, but they're using this, like, you know, they're making it very spiritual, like God and channeling and stuff, but they're basically influencing them with NLP and then using this stuff, you know? So it's some interesting things that they're doing, but that's their version of making it better because it's spiritual or it's this or it's that or something, but it's a lot of basic frameworks, but they've gotten very good at making it quote unquote better to a certain niche, and they're able to target those people effectively and monetize the crap out of it. So it's been fascinating. So no matter who you are listening to this, you can take those distinctions by looking at information, extracting what's good, thinking, how do I use this? And then optimizing it, making it some more way implementable or duplicatable or, you know, more focused within a certain demographic where then it's more useful, and not only useful, but better for your people because you've made it suit them through your marketing or your service, the way that it's structured. And that's how you can build your brand and company.
Incredible. Eli, this has been an incredible time for me. You, I feel that you have so much in you. We talk, like, I don't know exactly, an hour and 20, 30 minutes. And I think we could talk the whole day because there's so much knowledge there and you've been through so much. So thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Sure.
And for all of you listening to this, I'm so grateful that you're here, that you're doing something with your life. So after listening to this, make sure to do something with your lives, because otherwise this is just studying, that just like Eli says, studying. We need training. So you go out and train in your life. If you like this podcast, share it with friends, family, give us 5 stars and help us grow. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years. I can't do it myself. And I truly believe that we can do this together. So thank you so much and talk soon. Bye-bye.